So this is Pentecost Sunday, and this is going to be a Pentecost Sunday message. I'm going to be talking about what Pentecost originally was and how that has come to be what we celebrate as Christians. But before I get to that, the title for the message is Be Filled with the Spirit. And Reggie mentioned it, and you know, what this world really needs are people that are led by the Spirit of God. All of the problems that are in the world are people that go their own way. And that includes you and me. You know, we're not much different, except that we know and desire and are seeking after being led by the Spirit of God. And we have trouble doing that on a moment-by-moment basis. And this message is probably something, you know, we're all Christians. We've received the Holy Spirit. The Spirit lives within us. And we might tend to say, oh, okay, so that's the end of that. The Lord's inside of us, and everything's just copacetic. But, you know, there's a lot for us to grow into in Christ. And I want to talk about this whole concept of being filled with the Spirit. So, you know, when I was younger, there were people when I was in high school, junior high, high school, where I wanted to be around certain people. And because there was something about them I liked, and I wanted to hang around with them. And those people had a tremendous influence on the way I acted, how I looked at different situations in life, the choices that I made during the school day. There was a tremendous amount of influence because of these particular people, my very, very closest friends. And when, as we get into talking about Pentecost, this is really what it all really comes down to, who we're really influenced by. And you're going to see how that word connects with all of these different scriptures. Now I'm going to start in Acts chapter 1. You thought I was going to be in 2, didn't you? But I'm starting in Acts chapter 1, all right? There's two scriptures, two verses out of Acts chapter 1 that I'm going to be talking about. But before we end up reading that, I want to just give a lead-in to what's going on. It's where this is picking up in the story is 10 days before the day of Pentecost. All right. So this is 10 days prior. Jesus is just getting ready to ascend up into heaven. He's been resurrected. He's been around for 40 days, showing himself to the disciples, teaching the disciples, and then after 40 days of being here, after his resurrection, it's time for him to go back to heaven, where he came from. And so these are some of the last things that the resurrected Christ says to his disciples before he ascends up into heaven. All right? So Acts chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5 and then verse 8. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In fact, it was 10 days later that that happened. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So the word upon means, it's a Greek word, epi, and it means over a person externally. Okay, that's what it means. To be upon something is to be over someone in an external way. That's what this particular word means in the Greek. You think about when Jesus was baptized in water, it says that that the Holy Spirit, like a dove, in the form of a dove, rested upon him or remained upon him. And that has this thing of externally being over Christ. Okay, you understand that? All right. So the word baptized means to be made fully wet. It means to dip into something and then come out and you're covered completely, usually in water. But the word also means to stain. Stained. Baptized means that you're stained with Christ, with the Holy Spirit. Now think about a stain. If you paint, Kathy and I would paint the railings at our home, and you know what? Every year, by the next year or 2 years, it's all peeled up and you gotta scrape and then you gotta put it, because it only goes, it's only on the surface. Stains, however, soak in, don't they? And I thought it was really interesting that, that this baptism of the Holy Spirit has this connotation of being stained, something that goes deeper than something that's surface. God doesn't just do a surface work in any of us. He wants something deeper. And what's really important for us is that we need to be people that want that too. Amen? That has to be something inside of us that we're looking to God and saying, you know, I don't ever want to be satisfied with my level of spirituality, with the level of the how I understand God or seek God or anything that deals with His Spirit. We need more of that, don't we? Don't we? You're back in this room now, so you know, I will expect this response. But it's good though, isn't it, to say that. And when people think people are crazy, you know, amen, brother. There's a reason why we say amen, and there's a reason why we use our bodies and our mouths when we agree in our heart, because it just involves us even that much more deeply, right? Right, we know that, you know, and so it's important. Sometimes we have to force ourselves, you know, the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak, you know. No, we need to all be involved, right? I'm doing the talking right at this moment, but we're all involved in receiving the Word of God, amen? So that's really important. So now you can turn to Acts chapter 2. Oh yes, it's changed. Yes.
And now I think it doesn't go away, right? It's always feels that Tommy reaches it so in it. Like you get a little minute sometimes, always feel to some degree.
Yes. Yeah. Can't get rid of it.
Can't get rid of it. And in Spain, you know, a lot of times it's negative, right? A lot of times people are
just
saying, I'm just saying, sure, yeah. That's a negative thing.
Yeah.
But that's not what you're talking about.
No.
You're talking about this thing that brings life to people.
Yeah. When you dye clothes, you know, a dye is really that's that same word. You're changing the color. The Holy Spirit, when we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside us. I'm going to mention that here in just a little bit. We're the temple of the living. Don't you know that you're the temple of the living God and that the Spirit of Christ lives in you? Wow, huh? So, if you have the faith to believe that, if you understand that's awesome, isn't it? And the fact that that's there, you know, I think that's why the scripture says we're new creatures in Christ. We're somebody new. Our presentation, the way we look to other people should end up becoming different. We got a new color here, right? It's a new color. It's a new stain. It's a new dye. It's to be fashioned after Jesus himself. And that's a process, isn't it? And God initiates that. And then it's a lifetime of dying to self and living unto God. Isn't that right? That's right. Sometimes it fades a little bit. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and that happens in life. Circumstances happen in life, and oh my gosh, we can feel faded out. We can feel separated from the Lord. I bet you every single person in here, sometimes it's the moment that you accepted Jesus into your life and the Spirit of God entered you, you didn't feel that close to the Lord because of sin, because of circumstances that have happened. And why is this going on? Why is this happening in my life, Lord? We fade a little bit. The vibrancy of our relationship with Christ can get dimmed. And it takes us going back to the Lord. No, I'm not allowing this to happen. I'm not going to allow that situation to happen. He wants us, you know, this whole thing of being filled with the Spirit be influenced by the Spirit of God. It has to be a driving force in our life. Yes, go ahead. Oh, absolutely. So, you know, we should all have some coffee after. That's it. That is absolutely it. Really, and that just kind of goes with the message, doesn't it? To be dunked in Christ, to be dipped, to be immersed, to be covered over, to want that, allow that to happen. I do got to say, too, you know, people that have not had that happen to them. If you're not a Christian, or even if you're a Christian and we're talking about something that goes deeper that we're going to be talking about here, people can be afraid when you talk about a spirit. You know, people can be, what's that all about? And yet it's not scary at all, is it? I think everybody here probably has experienced the leading of the Spirit in their life, and that being immersed with God, having the anointing touch you. Somebody have a hand up? that's basically how it was. The Spirit, in Old Testament, the Spirit came upon you. Yeah. And rested on you. And then there was that anointing that happened. And then you could speak. And we're going to see this. The same thing happens. We receive the Spirit of Christ within us. But there are many times in our life where the Spirit of God wants to move upon us. And there's a difference there. And having that openness to the Spirit of God to be that real direct influence in the way that we think and the actions that we take is so, so important in a world that needs the people that are truly being led by the Spirit, not know about the Spirit, not just believe that there's a Spirit of God, but people that are actually being led and moved upon, being filled is another word. We're going to see what all, because the definitions of some of these words are really important for us to really realize, because I think that when we read this Acts chapter 2, over the centuries, the church can almost look at, get a definition of what something meant 2,000 years ago, and then it's carried along and it loses its flavor, it loses the nuance, it loses the life that really can be in it. And we can hear this and it can be just dead to us. Oh yeah, I know what this means. And yet there's more to it, and the more that we can embrace what the rhema, what the right now word is, what God wants to say to you in your heart, needs to be grabbed a hold of by you and me, right? In order to have efficacy, have it so that it has effect, right? So, all right. I'll just say this, because I say something about the Jewish festivals. There were seven Jewish feasts, national feasts, six, but seven. This festival that we celebrate today originally was a Jewish festival, Shavuot. And Shavuot was the Feast of Weeks, and it was 7 weeks and one day after the Sabbath, after Passover. Get all that? and so it's 50 days, and that's what Pentecost is. 50 has the root word 50 in it. So it's 50 days, and that's exactly what they were on here today, 50 days after the Passover Sabbath. So, that's what that was. And it was one of the three feasts that the Jewish males were required to go to. And it was leavened bread, not unleavened, like Passover was. And in the ceremony at the temple, the priest would take two loaves of Now, there was all of this to the Jews dealt with the wheat harvest, the second harvest in late spring to the Jews. So it was a harvest festival to the Jews. When we look at the symbolism, the wheat harvest was a symbol of the church being born, right? White with harvest, right? And that was the wheat harvest. And so all of this really was symbolic in Christ and pointing to the birth of the church. When did all of this happen? When did the church blossom and burst forth? On the day of Pentecost. Isn't that cool? All of the feasts have a direct connection to Jesus. Jesus was crucified on the eve of the Passover, just like the Passover lambs were killed on the eve of the Passover. And we could go, I could go through all of them, but I'm not going to. But there's a significance looking at the feasts. There's a richness to studying the Jewish feasts, right, John? Oh, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry if you didn't hear that part. The Torah was given on this festival, this Jewish festival. And around the mountain, the Jewish tradition is, if you read their literature, that around the mountain, all the Israelites were there. You sort of think Israelites, but the Jewish tradition is that all 70 tongues were represented around that mountain. And that when Jesus spoke, they all heard it in their own native tongue. So that is the Jewish tradition before all of this Christianity came around. Exactly. I was like, hey, that's a
coincidence. Oh, and that just makes it even more so. I didn't know that either, but about the... No, it's not. Yeah, that's the Jewish tradition. Hallelujah. Okay, so now let's read. I'm going to read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, just from what John just said, wow. You know, when you think about it, God is so fantastic the way he lays things out. You know, the scripture says that everything that was written in the Old Testament is for our understanding. It was written for us so that for what happened with the Jews and the way things were set up with the Jews was a symbol, a type, an example for us as Christians. So that's why we read both Old and New Testament, because there's a lot of good things to gain out of that. And did I finish all that? Yeah, I did. All right, now, the word filled, where it talks about they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The word filled means to supply, and it means to influence. That's what I was talking about at the beginning of this. People that really influence us. We want to be people that are influenced by the Holy Spirit. It isn't some kind of drunken, out of body experience that, not walking around with zombies being controlled. No, we're alive, we're connected, we're in reality, and we're being influenced by the Spirit of God to think or to do a certain things. Amen. It's not a craziness. It's not, I think I've mentioned before in another church that Kathy and I were in, there were people that wanted to show they were in the Spirit, and they walked around like this as they walked up to the altar. I can accept, okay, maybe something's happening one time, but when it happens all the time, I guess I shouldn't judge it, but I did. And maybe it was wrong, but that isn't, I'm only going by what it looks like in the scripture, and Jesus is real. The Holy Spirit is real. He deals with real people. He deals with us in where we are. We don't have to become something something else in an external way, do we? Now, this whole thing with the tongues is so fantastic. I'm so glad you mentioned it, John. You know, and I think you were led by the Spirit to push in on that. You know, that's good. That was excellent. So this whole thing about supplying is being, it connects with being endowed with ability. If you're being filled by the Spirit, it means God is, you and I are receiving something. We're being endowed by God with a particular ability, with power. That's why Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 that, not too many days from now, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what's going to happen is you're going to receive power. Wait there in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. And so that power isn't like me taking my arm and just going like this and you all fall over. That's not what the power of Jesus was talking about. He was talking about spiritual attributes, right? You're going to be filled with power. So I want to talk about this for a minute. This is the kind of influence you and I want to be under, isn't it? The scripture says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Isn't that right? And that's what we want. We want to be filled. We want to be influenced moment by moment, thought by thought, as much as we can, so that we're led by the Spirit of God. And when we get to that Ephesians scripture, we'll see the context that that's in, because it really applies more so today than any other time in the history of the world. People, as I started this out, people need other people that are being led by the Spirit so they have a place they can go to, so that they have examples and have the ability to serve God, because they have these people that are showing them the way. Amen? Okay. So what I think I'll do, I want to say one more thing about the scripture. It says they were together, all together in one accord in one place. Now, of course, one place, like here we are, we're here, and in a sense, everybody that's on Zoom, you're here too, even though you're not physically here, you're watching, aren't you? You know, you're there, you're connected with what's going on here. That word, one accord, listen to this. This word, accord, is the same word all the way throughout the book of Acts. There's other words for accord in other parts of the New Testament, but every place in the book of Acts, it's a particular word. And that word means to be passionately together. And what it refers to is this. We will not be divided from one another. Get this. We will not be divided from one another. We have a passion, a desire to have the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. People that are going to be filled with the Spirit have to have an attitude of heart that says, I'm not going to be divided from my brothers. Isn't that something? In other parts of the New Testament, there's another Greek word for accord, and that word is sansoukos. And that means thinking the same thoughts. And I used to think, well, you know, how can you be in one accord if you're not thinking the same way about everything? But that's not really what this is, what this whole thing of, and being filled with the Spirit is all about. It's about being passionately together with God and with one another. Isn't that right? And we're not always going to agree on everything. I have had, my head's been in the ringer about a lot of this stuff. And I'm really coming to see, you know, some things about me. Yes. We're together. And we're passionately together. Oh my gosh, last week when we had decided that we were definitely going to be getting back together, Kathy and I had tears in our eyes, thinking, oh, we're finally going to get back together again. You know, it is great. It suffices, but you know what? It's a lot better when it's face to face, to me. I'm sure everybody feels that way. No, we're not divided. Yeah, we're in one accord. No matter where we are, right? But it's better when we get a chance to be together, I think. Okay, so now, if you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know what this is, right? Chapter 12. It's gifts of the Spirit. Manifestations of the Spirit. Somebody? Oh, okay. All right. So this is, I'm going to read verses 7 through 11. And it says this. These are the manifestations of the Spirit, or the gifts of the Spirit. But to each one, to that person over there and that person over there, but not to anybody else? No. To who? To each one. Any person that has come to Christ, God has given at least one gift. Isn't that cool? Hey, you're a member of my family. Here's your gift. Here's a gift for coming into our family. Right? This is from God. And all of us in this room over there, any place in the world, anyone who's accepted Christ, this is what it says. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to others gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. And so, in this baptism of the Spirit, when the Spirit fills us, when the Spirit comes upon us, when the Spirit anoints us, we are going to move in some kind of manifestation of that Holy Spirit, aren't we? This is the result of having the Holy Spirit fill us, stain us again, give us this ability to do something that's beyond what we can normally do, right? Whether it's miracles or healings or prophesying or all there's nine of them altogether. Tongues is only one of them, and it happened just that way. I think that there was a need at that time for the gift of tongues to come out for what John brought forward, and also to catch other people. What's going on here? They're speaking in my tongue. Well, wait a minute. No, these people, they're speaking in my tongue. So, you know, it grabbed a hold of people, and people ended up being able to listen to a gospel message, and 3,000 people came to Christ. Right? So there was a reason for that. Some areas of the church, well, you're not baptized in the Spirit unless you're speaking in tongues. Well, no, that's not necessarily so. There's nine manifestations of the Spirit. You understand? There's nine manifestations. Okay. If you you don't have to turn to this, it's I mentioned it earlier in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. It says this: Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? We're not our own. But you have been bought with a price. Let that sink in too, huh? This is my body. I'll do with it whatever I want. Right? No. This body, as well as my mind and heart and everything else, same thing with you, has been bought with a price. We're to glorify God with the way we act and the decisions that we make. Amen. And so we want to be filled. We can't just be running around, giving a darn about what God wants in our life, and then expect to have a filled experience in God. Doesn't happen that way, does it? God wants us to be righteous. And that's hard. Every single person in here, I'll bet you all of us, every single person, I want to be righteous. Don't you feel that? I want to do the right thing all the time. I don't want to hurt the Lord. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit by my actions and the rotten thoughts that I can have. There's nobody in here that would want to do that. But we do. And it takes us to say, God, please forgive me. Help me to move on in you. Right? Because the world needs people that are being led by the Spirit, that are filled with the Spirit, not just dunked one time and then go off in our own way. No, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't get to make the choices we used to make. And this is hard. This is hard stuff, isn't it? Sometimes. Okay. We're getting there now. John chapter 14. Verse 26 says this: But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. You know what's really a difficult thing is we come to Christ, we have the Word of God, and we can, with using our own minds, come up with what this means. And like Reggie said earlier, we can kind of just read what we want to read and avoid things that are uncomfortable to us or doesn't fit in with the way we want God to be. Right? we, as when we're reading this, you know, we have to be prayerful when we read the Word of God, don't we? We can't just say, well, I'm going to read Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 8 today, and then just read it and come up with an idea. No, you and I, we have to be prayerful readers, don't we? Lord, show me what was the intent of the Spirit in having these words written down. It's almost a habit that we have to get into. Otherwise, we just open, oh, you know, I'm going to read the Bible today. And if we're not careful, we're coming up with our own ideas. We don't want that. We want the Holy Spirit to teach us, right? That's how that has to be, doesn't it? And he teaches us not only through the Word, but he teaches us through our experiences that we have to go through. Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit doing that to us. But the Lord really, as we're seeking his face and we're going in the right direction, even though we fall and stumble many times and we keep getting back up, the Lord's going to be there for us, and he's going to show us, and over time, discernment gets better. We understand what's right and what's wrong. You know, there's been things in my life that up until not too long ago, I had a rationale why I thought a certain thing or why I would react a certain way. I'm finding that wasn't the Holy Spirit giving me a reason why I could do something. Right? We tend to give ourselves a lot of room and not give other people room. Right? And the Lord wants us to be able to make connections. This is what I love about our church too, because I think many of us, when there's two things or three things that happen within a service, we go, oh, wait a minute. So and so, you know, and again, Reggie said something earlier about, it isn't coincidence when two things happen and it's about the same particular topic. Right? There's something more than just happenstance. God orchestrates and I like being able to have being able to make connections to say, oh, this and this and this. Oh, this is what the Lord's saying to me. Saying to us, right? But you hear these things, and when you get these kinds of confirmations, you go, boy, that must have been the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And now, oh, that gives me a better understanding of the next time I can recognize the voice of the Spirit that much better. Isn't that right? And that's the process we're in right now, especially for what's coming up ahead. So I'm hoping that all of what's happened with the coronavirus and all this stuff, that we begin to see what God is doing and the place that we're in history and where and what's going to happen and the forces that are behind the scenes working and us being able to discern what is of God and what isn't of God and to know which way we need to go in all of this. Is it, you know, don't you want to have that kind of connection and the prudence, the certain to be able to pull this together and get the whole view of what's happening instead of only being concerned about us, about me as an individual, and just about, oh, you know, I hope God gives me this and I hope this is going to work out in my life, and it's always all about me and what God can do for me, when there's a much bigger picture. Yeah, he's going to take care of us. You know, if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he'll add all the other stuff. Right? All right. So, I'm going to skip something and go to something else here. I'm just trying to see what the Lord, how the Lord wants me to do. Alright, let's just go to Ephesians chapter 5. And, this will be the second to last scripture. How many of you believe that? Does anybody believe that? Oh, there's one person. Thank you, Diane. So, okay. I do. Yeah. I believe hope I am the winner. Okay, so in Ephesians chapter 5. Jump down to verse 18, but then I'm going to go back up and read another verse down to that again. It says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. All right, now let's look at the context of why Paul is writing that. Don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. Alright, now we're going to go back up to verse 14. Listen to this. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, prudently, looking at the whole picture, making the connections of what is going on in your life and in the world and where we fit and what is our purpose at this point in time, as we get to the end of an age. Huh? Oh man. You've heard all these things before, you know. We were born for such a time as this. We're here for a particular, very important purpose as a church. Okay, so it's verse 14 about waking up and rise from the dead, and Christ will give us light. See then that we don't that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise people, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Yeah, we can redeem the time. We can make up for all the years that we were stupid and went our own way and were obtuse to what being led by the Spirit in so many different times in our life. Verse 17 says, therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's the context of this. We gotta wake up. We gotta look around. There's more to life and what God wants to do. And we need to be filled with the Spirit in order to be able to understand it all. Yeah? And then notice what it says right after being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We might think Thanksgiving is just, oh, you know, that's nice. But you know, it opens up our hearts for that filling of the Spirit of God, doesn't it? Just being thankful and grateful. So I'm so grateful for so many different personal things. I'm grateful that we live in the United States of America with all of our problems. We're very fortunate to live here, aren't we? And we need to be thankful for that. And really, I hope that this is a time where, like 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, is all about, you know, that we humble ourselves and pray and seek His face so that we can be filled. And God will heal our land. That's a promise. You want that? I do. I want our land healed from the corruption that's there, from the ungodliness and the influence of the Antichrist spirit. Antichrist might be in the world today, the Antichrist. But the spirit of Antichrist has been around for thousands of years. The spirit that's against Christ. And then it says in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Connected together there in such a great way. So I'm going to conclude with Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and it's verse 14. So let's just remember. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Right? The people that are led by the Spirit, that are filled, anointed, these are the sons of God. These are the grown up sons of God. That can be used in a much more mighty way for the purposes of God. So, Lord, we pray that we would be people that would be filled with your Spirit in whatever way you choose, not by our own workings, but as you have distributed your Spirit unto us, that we would just move in it and be open to it and not be afraid. Be influenced day by day, moment by moment, by your Spirit to lead us into all truth, to lead us into righteousness, to lead us into the promotion of your kingdom on this earth. In Jesus' precious name, amen.